Good evening. This was in the suggestion box, and whoever asked to talk about Job, if you want to talk further, let me know. And so I decided to do a sermon on the whole book of Job, because when we look at the book of Job, it's a great book to go to when there is suffering, when there are hard times going about in your life. Because when we look at Job, we see his character and who he was. And God himself said he was a faithful man. He abhorred what is evil. But we know that did not excuse him or exempt him from suffering. Because there are many people in our world today who think, well, if I'm just faithful to God, if I do what I'm told to do, everything will be well. I won't suffer, I won't go through hard times. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that promise. It's a lie that they are told that, hey, if you're faithful, nothing bad will happen. He never promises, because there's evidence of that throughout Scripture. People who were faithful suffered greatly. People would lose their life for the sake of Christ. And so suffering, hardships will happen. But the good news is we know that God is faithful and that God will not forsake us, that he is with us through it all. And that's a wonderful, should be a wonderful comfort to have. And so when we look at the book of Job, this book really shows us how we should act, how we should handle ourselves in the midst of loss, whether it's physical loss or just maybe even spiritual loss, spiritual struggles that we go through. And so the first point I want to look at, Job shows us the reality. Righteous people can suffer deeply. They can suffer deeply. Because we see here in Job chapter 1, verse 1, he's introduced as a real man with a real reputation. Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. We see the characteristics that God shows us about Job. And right here from this point on, we not only see God talking about Job in this way, but we see Job and how he conducts himself. And he backs up what God says about him. Because with the loss that we see it come rapidly. One servant after the other. We see that with chapters 1 and 2. One servant will come, you lost this. And then another servant not long after comes, you lost this person, these people. It's rapid. And how awful. I mean, any man would be broken at this point. One bad thing after the other. I can only imagine. There's only so much that we can handle. We all have a breaking point. We do. Some may last longer and some may break at the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of hardship. But we should not equate hardship with God's disapproval. The righteous can bleed, mourn, and bury loved ones. We should never think in 100 years that these bad things happen to me because God has disapproved of me. That's a lie. Now, we know that sin does bring consequences. But we should never, when a tragedy happens, well, God's punishing me. No, he's not. Bad things happen. It's life. And so we need to understand, how do we properly respond to these hardships, to these trials? And Job shows us, he teaches proper first response: worship, not accusation. Job says words that we have heard, but fewer have lived. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh." And just this beautiful statement by Job is a perfect response. Is a man who truly understands life. Because when we were born, we came into this world with nothing. And when we take our last breath, we are leaving this world with nothing. We see Job worship. He falls and he worships. A lot of people like to accuse, like to blame when bad things happen. And that's human nature, of course. But we so often like to blame God for these problems. And people will say things like, well, if he was God, he could keep this from happening. What we need to understand is, yes, he has the power. He can stop anything he wants. But when he jumps into a situation and he starts taking control, is that taking away free will for people who do bad things? Because there are people who are evil. They do bad things. And so when we look once again at his response, he's not accusing God. He understands. And he's going to remain faithful to God. He's not going to accuse God. Job does grieve, honestly. In Job, the next verse of Job chapter 1, verse 22, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he give offense to God. Then fast forward to chapter 2, verse 10. And this is Job speaking to his wife. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the wickedly foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept calamity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And all of his grief, he never turned God into an enemy. He never once turned God into the enemy. And I think that is such a wonderful thing, a great lesson we can learn from Job. And even his wife here, who straight up tells him, "You need to just go and take your own life. You're worthless at this point because of everything he has lost." And maybe that is part of her grieving, blaming someone else. And that's how a lot of people do it. They accuse instead of worship. They accuse God or they accuse others because of these mishaps. But Job here, once again, he went towards God and worshiped instead of turning him into an enemy. And so the third point, Job warns us. Bad theology often sounds like certainty. And boy, isn't that true. Because now what we do, now we get insight on his friends. His wife has already now pretty much told him, just go kill yourself, which is bad enough. You just lost your children. You lost all your property. Even your own health is declining. And now you have your wife whom you think she'll be beside of me. She'll help me, guide me through this troubled time. Okay, that didn't work out. Well, here comes my friends. Maybe they'll understand. They'll be there for me. Well, at first, yeah. They do exactly what we need to do when someone's grieving. We see Job's friends sit with him at first, which is perfect, counting the situation. And Job 2. Verse 13, Job chapter 2, verse 13. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. And, you know, a lot of times when someone's grieving, we always like to say, "Let me know if you need anything." We need to understand they just want someone there to comfort. And it doesn't have to include words. Just being there, your presence can help. And that his friends here, 7 days and seven nights, sit beside of him. And they knew the pain he was in. Perfect situation. Perfect attitude from his friends. But sadly, it wouldn't last. It would not last. His friends would speak. And a few things that we can pick out from their speeches here. God blesses good people. God crushes bad people. Therefore, Job, confess what you did. This was their theology through their speeches, and really I call them sermons because they're preaching at them. God blesses good people. God crushes bad people. Job, repent. Confess what you did and repent. But thankfully, the Lord would rebuke them later on. In Job chapter 42, verse 7, now it happened after Yahweh had spoken these words to Job that Yahweh said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has." They spoke things that sounded religious, but they misrepresented God and spoke beyond what they knew. Job and his friends, they didn't fully understand what was going on. Why these things had fallen upon Job. Only God knew. And that's like us. These bad things happen. We don't understand the bigger picture. We don't understand why. Instead, we look to opinions. We look to other people. And here's a problem with that. A lot of times, they give us bad theology. They give us bad advice. Well, maybe you have sin. Maybe you have something that God didn't like and he sent this upon you. No, that's not what has happened. His friends here gave him bad advice. They pretended or thought they knew what was going on, but I guarantee once the Lord jumped in and said, "No, you misrepresented me terribly, going beyond what you know." We need to understand once again, when his friends start speaking, it just goes south. I've learned the best thing to do with people who are going through hard times, grieving. At first, it's best just to sit there. And secondly, if you do want to give them wise words, go to Scripture. Don't go from your point of view, your opinion. Always answer with Scripture. Comforting Scripture is always a great thing. Encourage them. Lift them up. Because his friends didn't do this at that time. They wanted to do it right. They would have spoke words of encouragement, comfort to them. Not, "Hey, you sinned. You need to repent." Let me tell you, that just drives people away. And so we see with the fourth point here, he shows the struggle. A believer can't ask hard questions without abandoning God. You know, we often think, "Well, man, I ask these questions of God and I feel like I've sinned." You know, we need to understand we have examples of characters wrestling with God, whether through questions like here with Job, or let's go to Jacob. According to Scripture, he literally wrestled with God. He lost. Job here in chapter 9, verse 33, "There is no adjudicator between us. Who may lay his hand upon us both?" There's a difference between rebellion and wrestling. Rebellion, God is wrong and I am done. That's what rebellion looks like. God is wrong and I'm done. I'm done worshiping. I'm done going to him. I'm done being faithful to him. But wrestling, "God, I don't understand, but I'm still speaking to you. I'm still coming to you. I'm still worshiping you because I know who you are. God can handle a brokenhearted saint speaking honestly. What he will not accept is prideful judgment and false speech about his character, about him. You know, I often take the mindset, I don't care what people say about me. They can drag my name through the mud all they want. But don't you dare drag God's name. Because God is perfect in every way. And Job understood this. Even though he was questioning God, he was being honest with him. It was not coming from a prideful judgment. It was coming from sincerity, honesty. You know, when we are hurting, we have questions. I've, in my life, have asked hard questions in the midst of hard times. But we need to understand, we're not going to know all the answers. We never will. Our minds have a limit of what we can comprehend. You know, it goes back to the Holy Trinity. That is something, you simplify it and you leave it at that. Because if you try to go deeper and try to fully understand, you're not going to. We need to take God's word at what it says and not try to go beyond. And so when these people struggle, we need to help them understand. You're not going to understand all things, why it happens the way it does. What you need to do is depend on God. Lean on him. Because we know God is a comforter. We absolutely know that. That's how Christ, who was God in the flesh, he comforts people. We see at one point with Lazarus, Mary and them, when they lose their brother. Why didn't you come when we told you to? This could have been prevented. If you would have just came and he was sick and healed him. They didn't understand what Christ was going to do. They didn't understand the full picture. Christ came after he was dead and put into the tomb. What he was going to do in that moment, they never understood until it happened. He was using that opportunity to glorify his Father. So we see when Christ finally shows up, he goes into open up the tomb and he tells Lazarus, come out. And here is Lazarus coming out. We need, as Christians, to be able to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Understand, I'm not going to understand why all this suffering is happening to me. But one thing I am going to do is lean on God and trust in him because he knows what he's doing. But Job here, he shows that true struggle in chapter 9. He shows it because he's struggling. He doesn't understand why, from us, from a reader's perspective, we know why it happened. But he doesn't in this moment. And so what does God do with Job here after these hard questions? God's answer teaches humility. We don't get all explanations, but we get God. He reveals something important to Job. Within the chapters of Job 38 through 41, he reveals three important things to Job. One, God is creator. He's the creator of all things. He's the one that gave us the breath of life into our nostrils. He breathed life into the nostrils. He is the creator of all things. Secondly, God is wise beyond Job's vision. As Isaiah would put it, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is. He knows all. He knows way more than we do. Third, God governs a world far larger than one man's gain. You know, we think about God being in the past, present, and future, knowing all things, knowing the present, the past and the future. It's hard to comprehend, but it's God. He knows how our life is going to end. He knows who are his sheep and who are not his sheep. He knows the heart of man. Things that we will never know. You know, I think about serial killers and what they did. They take their brains and they study their brains. They dissect and to find out why did they do what they did. And sometimes we never come up with an answer. We never will. God knows. He knows how many hairs are on our heads if you have hair. I mean, that's just amazing to me. And so these are three important things, because God's message is not, you don't matter. That's not his message at all. He cares about every single creature of his, every single human being that has born and that has died. He cares. Job 42:6, therefore I reject myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Job answers back in a very beautiful way. He finally understands, because Job learned what we learn today. The heart of faith is not getting every explanation. It is bowing before the God who is always righteous. You know, you want to look at the purpose of life. People ask this question, what's the purpose of life? Well, here it is. Solomon knew it. Job knows it. The apostles knew it. And we need to know it today. It's all about God. You know, I remember one preacher gave an invitation. And he talked about one name of God that we don't really think about. In Hebrew, for one of the names, you can pronounce one of God's names by simply, every time we breathe, we are pronouncing the name of God, which is just a wonderful, amazing fact that I didn't even know. That's how you pronounce the name Yahweh in Hebrew. And I was thinking, even through our breath, we are praising the name of God. It's all about him. That's what this life is about. The purpose is to worship and glorify him, to live as he has called us to live, as holy, blameless, and to do what he has commanded us. And Job understood that. And we see the results of finally Job understanding. Like our main text, he was given back double what he had. He was blessed greatly. He overcame the test. He passed the test, didn't he? He was faithful till the very end. When suffering happens, we won't fully understand, but we need to be able to take a step back and understand, I'm not going to blame God, I'm going to worship God. Even though I'm suffering, even though I'm in pain, or whatever I'm grieving over or for, I'm going to worship a righteous God who loves me, who cares about me deeply. Because it is where we draw true strength. It's where we have true peace, true joy. As I said this morning, we talked about joy, the difference between happiness and joy. God doesn't care. He doesn't care about happiness. What he wants to see from us is faithfulness, holiness, and wants us to take hold of eternal life through his Son. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven, because with this book, we need to understand, when we sing the song, "This world is not my home," do we truly believe those words? Because this world isn't our home. This world is temporary. This life, this body is temporary. One day, no matter how many vitamins, how healthy you are, you're going to take your last breath. And all that matters is how you lived for God, and that you glorified him with the life you had. That's all that's going to matter. Job understood that. And we need to as well. So this evening, if you're not a Christian, understand that God does love you, that He does care for you, or He wouldn't have sent His only Son down here to die for you. But understand, being outside of Christ, the only thing that you have to look forward to is physical and spiritual death. You will die and pass on from this life, and then you will face the second death, which is far worse. Why not give your life to Jesus Christ this night, fully embracing Him, fully being faithful and following Him this night? And from there, you will still face physical death. You will still suffer. You will still struggle. But as long as you are faithful to Him and you stand firm, you will receive the greatest reward, better than anything this world can offer you, and that is heaven for eternity, with our Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit for eternity. No more pain, no more death, no more suffering, no more tears. Why not give your life to Christ? And this is how you do it. And let's hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe that word, Mark 16:15-16. And now we are called to repent, which doesn't mean just to be sorry. It's more than that. We are denying ourselves, rejecting our flesh, our sinful nature. We're putting it away and we're turning back to God, changing our life. Acts 3:19. And then we are called to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And confessing Christ is important because those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before man, I will deny before my Father. But it doesn't stop there like so many man-made doctrines teach. We are called to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:15-16. But it doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. And that even means through our struggles, through the loss of people that we lose in our life, we must remain faithful and depend on Him every single day. I pray that you do choose to put Christ on this night in baptism. Because if you don't believe and obey, eternal punishment will be the consequence, the great consequence. Or if there are those who were Christians and have gone astray, understand, just like the prodigal son, he is still waiting, arms wide open, willing to receive you now. But you must come forward and repent of your sins and be reconciled to him, changing your life, turning away from that life of sin. If you're here this evening, I pray that you make things right with God. So if you need any assistance this evening, come while we stand and while we sing.